Right. So, I think that in those exceptions, very few people. There you go, few. So we are a consulting firm that's basically out of Europe. We have activities also in North America. The two offices, one on the west and one on the east coast. China, Japan, APAC are the fields of activity or regions of activity that are very involved in. And we basically offer a very wide range of services. When it comes to the subject of ACRE, et cetera, Exergy is involved big time with the subject of conformity assessments, as well as with the rating system that I'm going to talk about. Now, when we think about risk management, what do we talk about? We talk about, basically, if it's a good risk management system, that we have a closed loop system, that eventually also works into, let me say, a continuous improvement situation. So, but the first thing that you need, and Sumant has put up a very good slide in the beginning, saying, in God we trust, everything else has to bring data, right? Essentially, let's see, this first here. Essentially, when you look on the left side here, the risk analysis is really great to identify where are your risks in the first place. And that's not an easy part. If we look, for example, at some of the risks that that we see in the field, a couple of years ago, hail, for example, was not a big subject or topic. It has become, actually, with climate change, as hail balls are increasing in size. I talked to George Kelly the other week, and he said, well, in the beginning, when the standards have been made, IEC 61215, I believe it is, we thought that 25 millimeters hail ball size would be sufficient. It's basically an inch hail size to cover what we need for hail damage. And I can tell you this is not the case. So if I show you, in some cases we see hail balls that have the size of baseballs. And these guys are coming down big time with speeds at 120, 130 miles an hour hitting onto a panel. Now that is having different effects. Of course, you get in most cases you get a breakage of the glass. But the more important question is, what is the effect that you get on the performance of your panel? And apparently, if you look at silicon waiver-based technologies, there is also going to be an impact on the waiver itself, because you will see micro cracks. And it depends on how bad the panel is hit. That micro crack can have more or less a strong impact on the performance, actually. And that, again, results case. We just did an insurance claim case study analyzing more than 3,600 insurance claim cases. And hail is, I believe, number three out of the insurance claim cases. And it's very regional. There's regions that are prone more to this, and the regions that are less prone to this. Now, the key is, when it comes to insurance, you need to measure and you need to understand what is the impact that you have. But secondly, what is the likelihood? That's what insurance is all about. And so that basically determines whether an insurance will give you a cover in the first place. And if they give you a cover, how much is it going to cost? What is the premium that you have to pay? What is the risk premium that the insurance will calculate? So we're talking about risk evaluation, and then all of that will result in, hopefully, a very warning system. And then goes into risk reporting, and basically, that's a closed cycle. I'm not, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into detail in the center part, but basically, what you want to do is to avoid risk, or at least to mitigate risk. So this is where our rating system comes into play, and Sumant has talked about ICRE being a conformity assessment system. Currently, the operational document structure is built on a pass-fail logic. So either you pass minimum requirements or you don't pass them. If you just pass them, you might just pass them. Nobody knows how well above the bar you basically pass these criteria. And in some cases, you might even get into a situation where you're just at the edge of passing it. Well, you might get a certificate or not. But the rating system will differentiate in a much bigger way. And so the way how the rating system is going to be developed, and this is basically a pitch that we did to the European Commission, is that they're considering right now that that we will have four European Commission directives that will basically, hopefully, require at the end, this is going to be another 2 or 3 years out, that we are included with the rating system in four, maybe these four directives: eco-design, energy label, eco-label, and green public procurement. So basically, we have built the rating system in a modular way, so that you start with connectors and whatever goes into a module. We go then to inverters, to modules, and the next step actually is once you have that certified, which is the case today. Today, to get a module that is certified according to IEC 61215 or whatever, and apparently that doesn't tell you whether you really get a good module out of mass production or not. It just tells you that the modules that have been tested are complying with the standard. It does not tell you whether they have a really good module that you purchased. Which is why we go on to the process level and we audit the manufacturers. And like Sumant said, the idea is that you don't have to go for 40 audits in a year, or some companies even go further than that, and half a year, I think it was, right? So that's almost 100 audits per year, two every week. It drives you nuts when you're a manufacturer. It just drives you crazy. So if we are in a position to basically rate a manufacturer that is acknowledged by the sector, then this will mean you will have to go through us maybe 5 times a year, something like that. So that would be massive reduction in efforts. And same goes for the EPC contractors, for the O&M providers, and then in some cases, if you have a manufacturer that has, let me say, rating below a certain level, you might need to go through production supervision and so on, and that will eventually all result into a project rating that is going to come up with a nexus that yet has to be defined. So how does this all work, or where does data taxonomy come into the play? So as you can see here, first, we are right now developing the first generation of the rating system, and we hope that we get it done by end of next year. It might be actually the beginning of 21. We analyze the information that we have, computer nexuses, etc., and then eventually release the rating system 1.0. And the key is that what we want to do is to set up a blockchain where data is coming in from soup to nuts, so to speak, and we can really trace back where is the problem coming in the field. And so the big question, actually, when you set up the first generation rating system, the big question is it a valid rating system? And we are going for an 80-90% approach in the beginning, and then gradually we increase the accuracy, let me say. And so what we need to do is we need to measure the deviation versus a threshold value. So in case, for example, we have AAA rated projects, assuming that 0.1% of these projects do not deliver, and we see in the field that we are running up to 0.3 or 0.5%, that would mean we have to go through a reassessment of the rating system and basically go through that cycle 2 and 3 and then continue collecting data. Naturally, we would go for continuous monitoring and offer feedback loops to stakeholders so that they can go for a continuous improvement. So where does this tie in? And here you can see a picture that I've shown already earlier. The project data is fed into a system, in this case XBRL, which is the current standard for financial reporting predominantly. And then a lot of stakeholders can actually draw from these data and take their conclusions. Now, for this, when it comes to levelized cost of electricity, John has mentioned that. If you do a good job in the beginning, in the quality control, in the health of the system, in maintaining the system, etc., your level of cost of electricity will go down. If you don't, LCOE goes up. And with that, that's a big impact on the profitability of the owner, of the plant owner. So we see in the PV sector that the trajectory for PV is going literally on paper down. What we see in reality, and I will talk about that tomorrow, is that there's a number of cases where LCOE actually goes up because not enough quality management systems have been, or a non-effective quality management system is in place. And with that, a non-sufficient risk management system is in place. So there is really quality concerns in the field that we see, and there's crucial initiatives. ICRD, as I mentioned, Orange Button, Tom Tansy. How long are we together? 4 years? Whatever. It's not a long time. And so it's about data taxonomy. Now, we have been talking about financial reporting, which is XBRL. When you talk about these massive amounts of data from the technical side that we have to digest and analyze and so on and so forth, XBRL, unfortunately, is not a good taxonomy, simply because 95% of the protocol is absorbed by the protocol itself, and only 5% is efficient data transfer. So we have to find that is more efficient than that. With that, I would like to close. I'm here until whatever, 9:30, 10 o'clock. Please listen in if you want tomorrow at 1:40 in room 253A, not in this hotel, but over at the conference. I'll have more to say about what we see in the field. We have a case study, and so I would hope that some of you would show up there. That's it. One thing that Oreska and also particularly the Tech Security Foundation is 9 months is funds from donators, from sponsors, whatever. So if you're interested in supporting this effort, please give me a shout. Thanks.